Welcome back to the City Smack Podcast. I'm Chris Chavez.
I'm Kyle Merber.
And I'm Jasmine Todd.
Happy New Year, squad, and welcome back to America, Kyle. It is January 5th, but there's already a lot of news happening in the track and field world. On today's show, we're going to discuss what we're most excited about in track for the upcoming year. The Houston Half Marathon fields started to get announced. The New Balance Grand Prix and the Millrose Games fields are also taking shape. And we'll do a nice buy or sell segment and what's happening inside Sidious Mag right at the very end. But I figured, Kyle, should we start off with a little bit of ASMR action and shout out our brand new sponsor? Olipop is here behind Sidious Mag's content all throughout 2023. We're kicking things off with them. You'll see them at when we're doing live events at meets. Kyle, what's got you excited about Olipop joining the Sidious Mag fold?
I mean, first off, it's delicious, which is so very, good. Very important. No, but on a more serious note, and I guess this is a little bit of a behind the scenes on Sidious Mag to start things out. We were at Worlds. We're on the live show for hours a day. We're drinking, you know, drinks on air the whole time, and we have different guests coming by. And the idea was like, why are we not, you know, promoting what we're drinking? It didn't make any sense. And so a lot of the offseason was spent finding that brand that we really liked and thought would align well with the audience. And, you know, Olipop was super pumped about what we're doing. It's a good, healthy alternative. Rather than having 40 plus grams of sugar in a can of soda, you still get classic flavors like ginger lemon for...
I got tropical punch. And Jasmine, what's the deal with you?
I had vintage cola, but it was just so good that I drank them all because I was not supposed, I didn't know that I was supposed to save them, but it's okay because I have another package coming in.
Awesome. We didn't tell Jasmine she was going to be on this podcast until an hour ago.
Yeah, so she just kind of got the package and immediately started dipping into it. Now you can get your own. And if you go to drinkolipop.com, use code SIDIOUS25 for 25% off non-subscription orders. Give them a try. You can find them at Whole Foods. You can find them, I believe, also at Target. I get mine at Whole Foods. Olipop, you'll be seeing and hearing a lot more of them in the Sidious Mag content throughout the next couple months. All right, so let's kick things off. 2022 was great. My first year doing this full-time, a lot of big help from you guys to make it a big success. We had Worlds in our own backyard. And now it's time for us to kind of shift gears and look towards 2023. So I'll kick it off with what's got you most excited and what are you most optimistic about? We'll go with Kyle.
Man, the thing that I'm most excited about for me personally is just being at track meets of the caliber that we were at more and more often. I mean, Worlds was such a special experience. And for me personally, to now be on this other side, you know, in the mix zone, in the stadium, doing reporting and, you know, analyzing the sport in a different way. So selfishly, I just want to be in more packed out stadiums in which the audience and the fans are really, really knowledgeable, like they were at Eugene. I'm already like counting down the days till we're in Budapest. I'll tell you that.
Budapest is going to be fun. Never been to Hungary. And I don't know, for us, like, obviously it's going to take a little bit of adjusting. We're going to have to get creative in our plans because it's not necessarily the type of place that we know the lay of the land, like we do Eugene. And then like having athletes try and come to our backyard, like we're going to have to find a way to get creative. And so we'll put our collective brains together and figure that out for the months ahead. But Jasmine, what about you? What are you most excited about?
Oh my gosh. This year following up after 2022 is going to be insane. I have big pictures and ideas of what's going to happen on the track with all these athletes running off what they just came from. So I'm really excited, honestly, for US champs and also Prefontaine since that's going to be in the league final.
Yeah. Well, also speaking personally, like you're still training, still going at it. Over the next couple months, so no plans for an indoor season, but it's all in on outdoors, right?
We are all in on outdoors. We have our eyes on the prize to make this world team. We want everybody in our group to make it. We've got a little chip on our shoulder here at the training center, so we're really excited to start this outdoor season.
I think indoor is going to have a nice little moment. You see like how the meets just are becoming more valuable. And, you know, we have the New Balance Indoor Grand Prix coming up in Millrose. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about this, but as the fields are getting released, like, it is going to have an international flair like never before. Lots of top athletes just chasing those points. I think versus the outdoor season, there's so many meets. Indoors, it's super concentrated. You're just going to have a few of the main meets in which everyone is at. As soon as it starts, the season is over. But it's like, if you want to get someone who's never followed track into it, just bring them to the Millrose games.
Yeah, I think that's always been key. Like for me personally, I think what I like to do is if I have a friend who I'm running with in New York City and is just sort of doing it casually, they're aware that there's a professional side of things. The best way to expose them to it is bring them to a meet like that, because then they're going to be blown away when they see someone like Donovan Brazier running the heck out of like a crazy turn, because they're standing right in front of it. And just there's a name recognition that stays with that going forward. It's like, oh, I remember seeing that guy in New York and now he's doing it in Budapest at the US Championships. And so that's a great recommendation that, you know, I like to echo as well. I think the thing that I'm most excited about is kind of continuing the momentum that we helped establish in certain cases with building an athlete, like somewhat of a connection to the athletes. I think last year when we did our show at Worlds in the backyard and, you know, at several meets throughout, people got more familiar with certain athletes and they're more invested in their stories and want to follow them along a bit more. Like, for example, Gary Martin was someone that we got to meet at New Balance Nationals, and now he's a Sidious Mag contributor. And so we're going to have him providing, you know, blog posts and videos of what it's like being a freshman at the University of Virginia. But I'm also thinking in terms of like someone like Trevor Bassett, like him sharing his story at the World Championships probably hooked a lot of people. And now in addition to that, it's like, I hope that there's people out there who are excited. It's like, when is Trevor going to race? And like, what's next? And like that you're more invested in someone's story like that. So, you know, it got the best of me. I had to text Trevor and ask him, it's like, Trevor, are we going to see you during indoor season? And he was like, I'm in that weird spot where like, unless there's a 200 or a 400, like I don't have that many opportunities to compete. But if someone needs me to jump into 60 hurdles, I'll give it a shot if I have to. So, you know, I'm excited that hopefully if you found an athlete that you really resonated with or were captivated by, that you do your best to kind of continue following along in that journey, because it's not just for Worlds this year. It's also for, you know, the Olympics next year. And that's kind of a crazy thing to say, is like, we have Olympics next year, because Tokyo felt like just yesterday.
I do think in general, Chris, like that's what the sport needs more of. It's like, we need people to latch on to certain athletes and become diehard fans of certain teams, like just really vocal. And, you know, even the opposite, like find someone you dislike and root against them, you know, whatever, they're professional athletes. You're allowed to root against people.
Yes.
All right. So first up, we've got some racing that'll already start taking place before we even get ahead of getting excited about championships and Olympics. First thing up on the calendar is going to be the Houston Half Marathon, which is later on this month. And so just yesterday, they announced the fields for that. And they're pretty stacked. We've got Emily Sisson as the headliner in the women's half, which a lot of people are presuming could be a American record attempt for her to lower her own record. She's going to have some pretty stiff competition. Hiwat Gebrekadan and Tarunesh Dibaba, a name that people haven't heard of in a while. The many-time Olympic gold medalist is making a comeback after, I believe, a four-year hiatus. But in addition to that, you've also got some intriguing storylines like Jenny Simpson, Vanessa Fraser making their debuts. On the men's side, Connor Mance and Edward Cheswick are the big fan favorites, who are also going up against, I think it's like three guys who have broken 60 minutes. So Kyle, what was your initial gut reaction to this race? Because every single year, Houston tends to be kind of like the first big fire that goes off in the season, where it's a lot of PRs that are on those streets.
Yeah, Houston now has this aura about it where you know it's fast. It's like kind of like the BU indoor track. You've seen everyone else go there and run well. And so stepping on the line, like there's that magic, that expectation that you're going to get it too. I'm excited for the debut, certainly. You know, Jenny, that's what can one of the best American milers of all time do now moving up? But also someone else, you know, every time Emily steps on the track or on the roads now, it's going to be a record attempt. We know that. But I'm also really excited to see how her training partner Molly Huddle does in probably her first real race after, you know, giving birth. And I think I don't necessarily expect her to be at the front of the race. I don't think she has that expectation as well. But that's just one storyline that I'm following along with. She's been super transparent about the whole process of coming back. And then I probably the other person that I'm really excited for is Dom Scott. Like, I feel like people don't remember just how good she is at the half marathon.
Well, I even looked this up when I was like writing out like the Instagram caption. It's like Dom Scott flies under the radar here because her personal best is 67.32. Molly Huddle's at 67.25, Emily Sisson's 67.11. It's like the South African record is not that far off the American record.
Dom is very, very good at the half. And so, you know, I think she's someone that could really come in and probably surprise people. And then on the men's field, I think the guy I'm probably most excited for is Ed Cheserek. Another guy who, you know, is really finding his spot after, you know, a couple of years a little quiet after crushing the mile scene. BU, but I still think his half in New York, like, we're not fully understanding how difficult that course is because it's different than it used to be. You know, the former course is a lot faster than the course is right now. And now I want to get Ed on the speedway of Houston, and I'm really confident he's going to dip below 60.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, like, the New York City course is – there's a couple bridges. It's hilly. It's cold typically at that time of year. I think this year they got away with like, or last year they got away with the best kind of weather. But yeah, his PR right now is 60.13. So that's 1 second per mile. I think he's got that. So I think we're in for
Mansoor Chez though. Who do you have in that battle? NCAA champs.
Or how about Frank? It's sort of like people forget how long Frank hung with Connor Mance in Chicago before ultimately the wheels coming off that. Like, I think Frank flies under the radar here a little bit. But yeah, no, I am excited about Connor Mance. He is a U.S. champion at the half marathon distance once. So I'm going to go Mance over Cheserek.
And then you also have Kiptoo in there.
Yeah.
This is like, you know,
the who's who of NCAA cross country guys. Yeah, so,
no, it's going to be really good. I think last year the coverage of the race was pretty good, so hopefully we can really follow along.
January 15th, mark your calendars. That is the Houston half.
I can say that I'm cheering for it and excited. I'm glad that I get to hear that he's running because I feel like he has been quiet, and watching him all through his college career, he's just such a great athlete. That's all I can say.
Jasmine is in the camp of like Cheserek was robbed of the Bowerman for all the NCAA titles. Like, she's one of those people who would be picketing outside of the US TCCCCA. With Mac. That's the squad that will get arrested until they're taken off the premises. All right. We've got the New Balance Grand Prix on February 3rd and then the Miller Rose Games on February 11th. Slowly, the fields are trickling out. And I think, first off, kudos to the event organizers of these two meets, because I think they do a great job of, you know, kind of teasing the fields maybe a couple days at a time. It's like, here's the field for this race and here's the field. Like, it just builds up hype over, we've got they've been doing it since early December, 2 months of excitement. I think that's a good job that the meet organizers do for both those events. Now, what event are you most excited to see at either one of these two meets? Kyle, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, you know, the women's Wanamaker Mile just came out and I love it. I mean, Laura Muir in New York coming in, you know, she's always run so well in every Birmingham indoor meet, but we haven't seen enough of her in New York. It's only been a couple occasions. So having someone of that caliber coming in, you know, is awesome to see. But then, you know, I think Sinclair Johnson is someone who had a huge breakout year, US champion. And now the question is, you know, can she make that jump to the next level to really be competing against the likes of the Muirs of the world?
Yes. Yeah, so, this field is, I'll run through it for the people who haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. So it's Laura Muir, Sinclair Johnson, Josette Norris, Nikki Hiltz, Sage Herta Klecker, a nice little name change since getting married at the end of last year. Medina Issa, who is, I believe, the world junior champion at 5,000 meters, only 18 years old from Ethiopia. Allie Wilson, Lucia Stafford, Cinta Vissa, Marta Penfritis, and Helen Schlachtenhofen. That is your women's Wanamaker mile field that was released shortly before we started recording this. So, Kyle, you had one more thing to add about that field?
Yeah, well, then, you know, you have, I think, Nikki, who has run exceptionally well indoors before. I think that they are proven as someone who can get around a bend well. And then Sage has, you know, had a ton of success in the 800, but has been really good in that 1500 mile before. And I think coming off the base of a fall season, someone with her natural speed is going to be able to mix it up. And, you know, she seems super committed to the 800 for a while, but I do think long-term that she's going to be someone that we're going to see regularly under 4 minutes in a 1500.
All right. Jasmine, what event are you most excited about at either the New Balance Grand Prix or the Millrose Games?
I think for both, I am extremely excited for the men's 60. Both fields are absolutely insane. And we've got Trayvon running at New Balance. We've got Christian Coleman. We've got Noah Lyles that'll be running. And so just to see where they're at already indoors, that's going to lead them into outdoors. I'm super excited for the men's 60.
Jasmine, what do you look for early in the season out of a 60 runner? You know, it's, you're not as sharp as you would be come August, obviously. I mean, is there something that we should be reading into in a February meet?
I feel like for me personally, I like to look at everybody's start. The 60 is so short. And there's people that are legitimately, they're just great at the 60. And you've got plenty of 100 meter runners who they're not the best. The 60 is not their thing, but for me, I love to look at the start. That first 30 meters kind of says a lot about where they're going to be when they enter into the 100.
I think last year, the thing that Noah said at the beginning and all throughout indoor seasons, that he was just using this to work on his start and work on his start and work on his start. And it paid off because I think he got a PR out of himself at the last meet that he ran. And then we see what he did at Worlds, where he just kind of blew everyone out of the water, and that start helped him attack the curve as hard as he did before setting the American record. So there's little bits and pieces to the foundation of work that can be done in these early months that ultimately pays off at these global championships. So yeah, although a 60 meter race is done in 6 seconds, like, there's a lot to it.
Short.
Yeah. All right. I will go with the men's 3K at the Millrose Games. This was a big race last year because it was billed as the professional debuts for Cooper Tier and Cole Hawker. And then it was Jordi Beamish who upset the party and kicked to probably one of the best indoor performances. And it just kind of like the armory was really loud for that one. And so he's back to defend his title. Cooper Tier is back for revenge. And then it gets really interesting because you have Josh Kerr moving up from last year, finishing second in the mile to the 3K. And this is a little bit of a head scratcher with Josh Kerr, as like, what is his, like, he's probably going to focus on the 15 outdoor seasons, but he's doing a lot of over distance work. He ran a half marathon a couple of weeks ago, and now he's in the 3K. So I'm interested to see in just how much stronger he gets from these races. But then after that, Luis Grijalva, who finished fourth at the World Championships, Nico Young coming off a second place finish at the NCAA Cross Country Championships, and then a solid performance at BU in the 5K. And then you've got the rest of the on guys, Joe Klecker, Morgan McDonald, a couple college guys. Dylan Jacobs is also in it. So this one has got a lot of intriguing storylines. I'm excited to see how it all unfolds this year. Do I think Jordi Beamish is going to defend the title? I think it's a little bit harder this year than it was last year.
When I saw that Josh Kerr was in this and not the mile, I was kind of, you know, like, come on, we need another battle versus Ollie. Why are you doing the 3K? Like, you're a 1500 Olympic medalist. And then I saw that half marathon, and, you know, granted, apparently it's got a net downhill to it, but I don't care. Like, this is a guy who is like 200 30th at NCAA Cross the one time he ran it, being able to haul, you know, a 63-minute half. That could be falling off a cliff, and I'm still impressed. So, you know, Josh has run pretty well in 5Ks historically, and, you know, 3K just seems like way more palatable for a guy who has his sort of raw 800 speed. I think he, if I had to bet, I'm taking Josh right now.
To win, I would give him to show, like, at least like first, second, third, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take Josh to win.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like this. I mean, you know, this is the part. So we're going to be doing these shows weekly, and I think it's for takes like that. We can see how you feel about this prediction in the weeks leading up to
Here's
Milbury's.
The thing. Josh doesn't race often, and he only races when he's ready, which, like, from like a philosophical standpoint, as someone whose job is to like follow and cheer on and analyze the sport, I kind of hate, but the fact that he has a 3K circled on his calendar, I have no doubt that he's showing up fit.
All right. So some other fields that were announced, we've got Abby Steiner headlining the women's 300, same day that was announced, she won the Bowerman Award. Then after that, Alicia Monson back to defend her 3K title against Constance Klosterhoffen. Caitlin Tui is also in that race. And as we mentioned before, Noah Lyles is doing both the 60s at New Balance and then heading to... So at New Balance, he'll go up against Trayvon, and then a week later, he'll go up against Christian Coleman. So that's so far what's been announced. I'm excited for more fields to be announced, and we're going to have a pretty solid Sidious Mag squad at Milrose Games, and we'll be hopefully doing after the final lap again and sipping some Olipops after all the athletes race.
Olipop out of the Wanamaker trophy.
That's the goal, yeah. I think.
Get Ollie a new sort of illness out of that.
Yeah, put in the Ollie whore is putting the Ollie in Olipop.
Yeah, that's
it's perfect. All right. Let's go to our buy or sell segment. Something that you're digging and something that you're not in the running world or in the track world. Kyle, we'll go to you first.
All right. I'm going to buy, and this is completely contrasting to my view on the event in track. I'm buying the mixed gender relay at the World Cross Country Championships 4x2K. Look, I'm in the track world, we have plenty of events. We don't need any more events. There's no reason to add another 4x4. But in cross country, it's like we're going all the way to Bathurst, Australia. We might as well throw in another race and get the most out of it. You know, bring in those mid-D stars and add a little bit of intrigue. And so, you know, they only have done it twice before. The first time that the event had ever happened was in 2017. The U.S. team finished sixth, and then 2019, we were fourth. And it is a long way to get to Australia to run 2K, but I'm really, really, really hoping, and I'm, you know, lobbying that we send an all-star team. And, you know, the qualifying came out and how the team is going to be selected, and it's basically like straight up off of the world athletic scoring table, who had the best performance in the last year. And that's in the 1500 up to the 2 mile and steeplechase. And so if you're a steeplechaser, it's like, come on, who cares about indoor track? And technically you could still run the Milrose Games, hop on a flight to Australia and run both. So I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard whispers of who's interested and who's not, but I just hope that we don't go too far down the descending order list and we bring in the best, because a medal is a medal. We never medal at World Cross. The last time we did it was in Poland, which is like almost 10 years ago. So let's go get a medal. We've got the talent to get it done.
Now, you're the world rankings points expert. Are there any good implications that could come out of like, all right, I'm going to go to World Cross? No. All
right. You're doing this strictly because it's a world championship and you want to get a medal. Like it's February. Like, stop worrying about something that's 6 months later. It's all of these athletes were partying 2 months ago in their off season, and they're pretending like going to Australia in February is going to affect their performance in August. Like, go represent the United States, the world championships. Like, what an opportunity. You get free stuff. And I don't know if you've looked at how expensive it is to fly to Australia. Like, they'll fly you there. So
All right.
Everyone should do it.
All right. So that's what you're buying. Jasmine, you were a little inspired after reading in the lap count about the Hakone Ekiden. So it's this big relay in Japan, gets more viewers than the Super Bowl. An incredible event. Actually, next year is the 100th running of it. I'd love to be there for that if we could find a way to make that happen. But you came up with an idea that you're buying.
I would 100% buy a jumpers relay. And so for those of you who are like, how would you even do that? Well, it's very simple. You take four people and that would be your team. They all get three jumps. And I said you would take the average, but Chris actually had a really good idea that I think is actually fun too.
Yeah, just take the best jumps or all legal jumps count. And you just add up all the distance. And then at the very end, like the teams that are going last, like, no, oh, I got to jump X amount of distance in order to win the whole thing. And maybe you do it like a knockout style until like there's, you know, every three or four jumps, a team gets eliminated and, you know, you see how far your team can go. I don't know. Like, it's just a rough concept in my head.
I don't think you do it. I think you need like the diversity of events. So you start with the pole vault. And then the next, you hand it off to the high jumper. And then when you get to the sand pit, you know, you can maybe have the graphics on TV show how far behind each team is in the total scoring and where they would need to land in the pit on the triple and the long to kind of even things out.
We just created a really fun
that would
track
be fun.
Meet for the jumps.
Yeah.
All right. I like that idea. All right. I am buying the handicap races. We just saw Ollie Hoare and Stewie McSwain go back to their hometowns and be welcomed as heroes for these races. And it's very interesting because like they are I saw one of the posters, I think was like duel of the century. And I was like, it's like, there's no global championship medals on the line here, but okay. I dig the excitement. And
in Tasmania,
which is where Stewie is from. And he was welcomed like a king there. And the broadcast and the commentary was fantastic. But I guess like the concept is different people start on different parts of the track, based on what PRs or something they put down on paper, and they're seated, and your goal is to win the mile, but not everyone is running the mile distance. Some people are running 1200 meters. Some people are like 300 back or something like that. So there, people are staggered all throughout, and it's up to the two pros or the ringers or something like that to try and beat everybody. And in the case, both races, neither of the pros won outright, and were beat by just kind of some random people. And like, it's kind of cool how it all turned out. And so drama unfolded. I think in the two duels, Ollie took the win, the head-to-head win in the first one, and then Stewie took the second one. So, you know, I listened to the Coffee Club podcast where Ollie was kind of giving the recap of the first one. He says, I could see why Stewie does this every year. It's like, it's fun, it's different, it activates the local community. So I want to see definitely more of that where, you know, the professional side of things interacts with, you know, the sub-elite local community level at that level. So Kyle, you were able to watch them live.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I mean, I've watched it in years past, and I think just like the idea of a grass track is a beautiful thing. Just, you know, obviously a little bit slower than Mondo, but it looks really cool. Makes for a nice picture. I think World Athletics should implement a rule that every athlete has to do one gimmick throughout the season, because okay. You see how much traction they get, like whether it's a beer mile or a jeans mile, elimination mile, like anytime there's something like this, it gets so much hype. And I mean, from a shoe contract standpoint, you should be encouraging athletes to do these sort of things. Just, you know, you get in the community, you forget about time, it goes out the window, and you just race, and it's about signing autographs, taking pictures, and just having fun.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, the time doesn't matter. They're running on grass, their spikes are digging and like into the grass where it's not like they're getting any sort of advantage. But at the same time, like, you could be wowed by it. Like, a 403 or 408 mile on that grass surface, like, is still very impressive. So I'm buying those mile races. Now let's move to the sell segment. Kyle, what are you selling?
I'm selling this entire thing where we complain about the qualifying standards. And I think like it's just because people, it's almost like they should change the name from qualifying standard, because people think that's the only way to do it. And it's just like, you need to understand that that what is happening behind the scenes and why they are becoming so difficult. And it's so we can really make a shift to the ranking system, which I have plenty of qualms with the ranking system, but like I understand the idea and why they're doing it. And, you know, like just because the standard is, you know, 27 flat in the 10K doesn't mean you have to break 27 to do it. There's ways to get in otherwise, but it's flashy and it's just, it's such an easy thing to complain about if you're not willing to understand it.
Yeah, it takes just a couple extra minutes to study up and learn actually like how it works. And also,
which is,
it's kind of alarmist too. Like, I guess like you can run with the headline and be like, this is the new standard. And it's like only three or four people in history have run this fast, so we're going to have a four person Olympic race. It's like, no, that's not exactly what it is. And so the education component to the world ranking system could obviously be better. And maybe that's a video. You were able to explain how to qualify for the NCAA cross country championships in 60 seconds. Your next challenge is going to be explain the world ranking system in 60 seconds.
It might need to be like 7 minutes, but no, the one call out would be that we need smaller countries to stop forcing their athletes to get the world standard in order to have them represent their country. That's an issue that I think we've seen in both Ireland and New Zealand and a lot of other countries. And, you know, their athletes are qualifying via rankings and the Federation is saying, we don't accept that. And I think World Athletics needs to put their foot down and force their hand a little bit, because that's not the system is changing. It's not what it was. And so you are legitimately qualifying for the Olympics if you get in on rankings. It's not, you know, a handout.
Jasmine, what's got you heated, or what are you smelling right now? Because in our end of year sort of lap count recap, we discussed what was most controversial, and you said you were still heated about the Devin Allen DQ.
The most controversial thing, it still makes my blood boil. I am selling that reaction time of false starts. I just feel like if it says negative, then it is a false start. If it does not say negative, you reacted. And if you anticipated the gun, you did a dang good job at anticipating that gun, because that's hard to do.
Let's celebrate that.
Yeah. So this brings up an interesting point. I saw this tweet by @KVLGD. Let me read what it, with Twitter nowadays, you got to make sure that someone's legit. He's the sports management for European Athletics. So that's what his bio says. I'll think that it's trustworthy. So he said, interesting to see that World Athletics added a note to the starting guidelines. This gives more power to the start referee to decide on a run under protest for an athlete when the reaction time is close to the allowed limit. It reminds me of the Allen case in Eugene. I'll save you from all the jargon that's in the actual rules, but it says, I think they highlighted, however, it is acknowledged that when the reaction time is close to the allowed limit, any movement could be hardly visible. And in this case, if in the opinion of the start referee, it would require further study of the technological evidence, the start referee may decide to allow the athlete to run under protest to preserve the rights of all concerned. So yeah, it does sound like there could have been a little bit of a rule change there based on the Devin Allen experience at Worlds. So maybe World Athletics is joining you in selling that rule in a bit. And I'll close it out. I'm selling the Wild Duck. The Wild Duck is closing.
It's for sale.
It's for
Get
sale.
Get out of here.
Obviously, lots of fun memories at the Wild Duck. It was the watering hole for people to go to after the meet. But, you know, really, I guess the people in Eugene, Mac can attest to it. I've asked him multiple times, I think, like what was the Wild Duck like? And Jasmine, I guess you can also speak to it, too. It's like, not that many people actually went to the Wild Duck. It wasn't like a hot place throughout the year. Like, it just happened to be, like, for track meets and, like, I guess like it's not that sustainable to just only be operating off this, you know, a couple track meets coming into town.
That's why there were so many track meets in Eugene.
It's insane. Cause literally when I tell you nobody, like I love the Wild Duck for track meets, but nobody goes there throughout the normal business year.
This pops people's, like, I don't know, like, if you're a track fan and you've made that trip and you've gone to the Wild Duck, you have this image in your head. And I think, like, it does burst the bubble to realize that, you know, 50 other weeks of the year, it's not all that popping. And so I'm selling the Wild Duck, and I'm, you know, I'll buy Denny's. We're celebrating at Denny's going forward. Josh Awatunde started the trend. We're going to Denny's, or we're going to the City of Smack House. Like, that's the place where we'll be celebrating next year. So
we did throw a party after Fifth Avenue. Should we consider a party?
Consider
after
the official, like, world champ, like, USA's Diamond League final after party. I don't know.
Can we do
we'll have to give some thought. If people will want to help us fundraise that, we can try and make it happen. But that is this
we're first only drinking Olipops.
At the party, we're only drinking Olipops. That does it for the first episode of the City of Smack podcast. We're going to be doing these episodes weekly and trying to get into a good cadence to bring you guys some analysis on the news and keep you up to date as to what is happening. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time. Actually, wait, I forgot the Inside City of Smack segment, which kind of gives you an update as to what's happening in and around City of Smack. So we'll have Sean Tobin, who just ran the Antarctica record for fastest marathon up on the North Pole and Antarctica are synonymous, right, Kyle?
No.
A lot of people
would say they're opposites.
All right. So fastest marathon on Antarctica. Right? That's
is it on Antarctica or in Antarctica?
It's like Long Island. So he's coming on the podcast later this week. No, there's no alcohol in Olipop. Then we've also got the lap count, which dropped. You recapped a lot of events that took place over the holiday season that maybe other people weren't aware about. There was lots of races that took place during New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And then Jasmine, we just published an episode of Out of the Blocks to start off the year. And you had Kenny Bednarik on there. What stood out to you about your conversation with Kung Fu Kenny?
Oh my goodness. I think I tweeted it, which was actually his girlfriend calling Kim number two. Because
that is brutal.
If my significant other was telling me that, oh my gosh.
Caitlin had the same reaction when I listened to the episode. It's like Caitlin's like, like if my significant other was calling me Mrs. Number Two, like, I wouldn't be too happy. But I'm glad that Kenny's got a good head on his shoulders, that he takes it as motivation. And I mean, he said some pretty bold things in there. So give me a couple of years, or like, he trusts that he's got his crosshairs on Usain Bolt's records.
Yep, his eyes on that record. So make sure you guys go listen, because it's a really good interview.
So check out of the Blocks wherever you get your podcast. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next time.